Please know I am but a humble Ravenpuff and do not own or take credit for any of the magical fanfictions on this podcasting channel. Nor do I own any rights or magical say on J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter characters that are mentioned within these stories. These fanfictions are the result of much more creative and dedicated minds than my own, and I will be introducing these authors as well as where to find their other works at the beginning of every episode. Hello, my magical brethren, and welcome to Fox's Fix, a podcast that attempts the sonorous charm on some of your favorite Harry Potter fanfictions. So whether you're taking the night bus across town, de-gnoming your garden, or simply shopping through Diagon Alley, this is a podcast that allows even the busiest witches and wizards a chance to listen to their favorite fanfiction. So I'd say it's time we take a page out of Fox's book and light up this week's fanfiction. Fox's Fix presents the unabridged audiobook of Isolation, written by Bex Chan and narrated by Fox's Fix. Bex Chan's novel-length fanfiction can be located on fanfiction.net as well as archiveofourown.org. Warning, this fanfiction is rated mature for its explicit language, content, and themes. Chapter 7. Human. Hermione hadn't seen Draco in 3 days. She hadn't even heard the smallest shuffle from his room, and had it not been for the fact that her cooked meals had always vanished by the time she returned from the library, she might have questioned if he was in her dorm at all. The witch had contemplated letting herself into her room again and again to rush out whatever string of apologies she was feeling at that moment. But she reasoned it would probably be a step in the wrong direction. Draco clearly wanted privacy, and she owed him at least that much after what she'd done. She was still so mortified by her actions. She'd never, ever done anything so awful in her life, so wrong. She locked herself in her room no less than 4 times and broken down into uninhibited sobs, cradling her quaking frame. The death of Charity Burbage was still darkening her mind, but she always found herself staring at her palm in those fractured moments, searching for a scar or a mark. She rubbed her forehead as her fingers tossed aside another page. The harsh wind screaming outside of the castle had exiled her to the sitting area, seeking some solace with one of her books. The wind was always her weakness. She could happily sit through a colorful thunderstorm or listen to the beats of thundering rains, but when the wind sounded like a strangled human, it petrified her. She tried silencing charms, just like she had all the previous years at Hogwarts, but they would always waver as her concentration was swallowed by her oncoming sleep. The breezy roars would shock her awake, and she would be back to where she started. Hermione had quickly abandoned the idea of gaining any sleep too close to her window, and was now huddled up on the couch in the windowless living room, reading Lord Byron's poems, one of her guilty pleasures. She pulled the blanket a bit tighter around her as she moved on to the poem, She Walks in Beauty, stealing a quick glance at the clock and grimacing when she realized it was 3:30. And the bloody wind gave no hint of fading anytime soon. She sucked in a loud breath when a small click broke in the air, and her syrupy gaze trailed over to find Malfoy slowly leaving his room. He looked annoyed when he glanced at her, expelling an agitated breath as he headed towards the kitchen, apparently choosing to ignore her completely. She thought twice before she spoke. But then, the words hurried out before she could think thrice. "Did I wake you?" she whispered, unsure if he'd heard her question at all, and simply deciding not to acknowledge it in the first place. Merlin only knew why she thought asking was a wise idea. "No," he growled as he poured a glass of water, keeping his back to her.
"Well, then why are you..."
"I was thirsty," he offered, pivoting on his heels and heading back to his room. "Malfoy, wait," Hermione said quickly, straightening her back and wondering exactly what she intended to say. She had no clue why he stopped short of his door, but she didn't dare question it. Least he remembered his constant desire to get away from her.
Can I ask you a question?
Draco sighed, like she was interfering on his non-existent schedule.
Ugh, make it quick.
Hermione hesitated and licked her teeth.
Are you still angry about, well, the other day?
When you cut my fucking hand open?
He clarified in a stoic tone, turning to face her.
Does it matter?
Hermione watched him with trans-treacle eyes as he brought his glass to his mouth, the moisture glossing his lips.
I guess it does, she confessed shyly, averting her attention to her lap.
Suspicion and shock almost made him choke on his drink, but he caught himself.
Why? He snapped bitterly. What difference does it make?
I'm not really sure, Hermione mumbled, carefully rising from the sofa.
Draco's jaw twitched as the blanket tumbled to her feet, leaving her in a simple t-shirt and baggy pajama bottoms. He found himself holding his breath as she started to move, but she simply headed towards the kitchen, and he briefly wondered exactly what he'd done if she had walked in his direction. By the flimsy flickers of candlelight, she looked different, more peaceful and slightly surreal. It was the darkness toying with his vision and perceptions that made him linger, studying her closely as she plucked two mugs from the cabinet.
Hot chocolate is always better to have before bed, she spoke softly, using her wand to boil some water. Would you like some?
Draco didn't respond. She clearly decided that she was making one for him anyway, and the smell of powdered cocoa mingled deliciously with Granger's natural scent. He toyed with the sleeves of his jumper while she finished the beverages, and once they were complete, she carried them both over to the sofas and placed them on the coffee table. He raised an eyebrow as she wrapped herself back up in the blanket and relaxed on the couch, his cautious stare shifting between her and the steaming mug that was meant for him.
Are you going to sit?
She asked, and he could tell that she was forcing her tone to be nonchalant. I'll drink it in my room, he said in a low grumble, taking some strides towards her. She started awkwardly.
Well, I was hoping you might answer my question and maybe sit with me for a while.
Well, that caught him off guard. Of all the things she could have said, he would have gambled away his inheritance that those words would never pass her lips in his company. Well, it was certainly an intriguing development to the shitty situation, and he couldn't help but consider seeing where this would lead.
Why the hell would you think that? He drawled lazily, resting his palms against the back of the couch opposite to hers.
I don't have to answer your questions.
No, you don't, she agreed. It was simply a request.
A stupid request.
She frowned and raised her head to eye him warily. Never mind.
No, he stopped her. I'm curious. I'm curious to know why you would even ask me to join you.
You didn't answer my question, she reminded him pointedly, reaching out her arm to stroke the rim of her mug. So why should I answer yours?
Draco didn't have a reason, but that was fine because the wind's cry sliced the silence. He saw it then, the flash of fear that streaked across her hazels. He couldn't ever recall seeing her look scared, uncertain maybe, and sometimes wary, but never scared. Even her demented episode in the bathroom had only stained her features with shame and shock. Well, this little early morning encounter was turning into a right little trove of surprises. What's up, Granger?
He questioned cockily, a smirk pulling his mouth.
Don't tell me one of the fearless Gryffindors is scared of a little storm.
He expected defiance and irritation, but she simply pulled her blanket a little tighter around herself. Not storms, she mumbled after a moment. I don't like the sound of the wind.
What?
His expression scrunched up with confusion.
She was actually admitting to her own fear? Admitting to phobias was simply not done in his circles,
and especially wouldn't be mentioned in front of an enemy. Broadcasting any form of weakness was just plain foolish, and yet she had done it so easily. What a trusting and naive idiot. But she was suddenly more real, more human, and it sobered him like a blast of winter. She was definitely still a mudblood, but now she was a mudblood with character. Kind of. Possibly. He observed her with more attention than was probably appropriate, as her shoulders relaxed when the wind died. Back was the rational Granger, with seemingly no issues with weather conditions. But it was still there, behind her amber gaze. She lifted her hot chocolate from the table and brought it to those rosy lips of hers, forming her mouth into a small ring to blow the steam away. It shouldn't have held his attention, but it did. "Your drink will get cold," she murmured, regarding him quietly as she took a sip of her own. He inhaled sharply before he climbed over the back of the couch and collapsed into the cushions, eyeing her impatiently. "How could you be scared of the wind?" "It's not so much the wind itself," she answered evenly. "I just don't like the noise."
"Well, that's just stupid," he scoffed.
"Everyone's scared of something. It's human nature," she reasoned carefully. "Aren't you?" He scowled, like the suggestion was absolutely ridiculous. But he couldn't help but consider her words. The idea of disappointing his family, or more specifically his father, came to mind. But he was guessing she meant something more specific and clinical. Either he simply didn't have one, or he was subconsciously choosing to ignore it. Still, he hated her for making him think about it. "No," he stated simply, leaning forward to grab the mug.
"Well, maybe you just haven't realized yours yet," Hermione offered with a non-committal shrug. "Will you answer my question? About the other day, when I, you know."
His eyes narrowed. "I doubt it would be possible for me to hate you any more than I already do," Draco told her calmly, his lips twitching. She looked slightly troubled by his words, and the need for him to say something else buzzed around his tongue. He clenched his eyes shut and scorned himself for what rushed out of his mouth next. "Consider it dealt with, Granger." A fascinating mixture of relief and surprise stole Hermione's face.
"Really?
It would serve you well to just not mention it again," he said squarely, having long decided that the incident was best tucked away in the back of beyond. "Unless you would have me bring it up."
"No," she shook her head hastily. "No, I'd like to forget about it."
He gave her a brief nod and swallowed a soothing gulp of hot chocolate, and Hermione resisted the urge to say thank you for agreeing to forget the topic. If she remembered correctly, she had apologized and said please more than she should have on that awful day. If she started spewing out words of gratitude now to this arsehole, it would be taking a step too far. But as he was now, sat on the other side of the coffee table and looking more calm than she could ever remember, it made her instinct to despise him waver. She had always believed and witnessed how a person's personality could affect how people perceive their appearance. If someone was ugly on the inside, her brain would convince her that the ugliness was reflected on the outside. But now, with her hatred for Malfoy slightly dented by the odd calm that had settled between them, she accepted that he was a rather striking wizard. The dim light caught his pale features well, and the orange glow of the candle waltzed in front of his silver irises. The angle and lines of his face were sharp and defined, as though each detail screamed for attention. But it made the eyes dance, and she quite liked that. She could argue that he was too pale, almost like he'd been mastered from ice. But she realized he probably hadn't felt a ray of sunshine in Merlin knew how long.
"Have you read the books?" Hermione asked carefully, deciding the silence had been breaching the fringes of discomfort. "The ones I left on the countertop?"
She could see his hesitation to answer her.
Yes,
he admitted cautiously.
Which ones are you reading now?
She pressed.
Why do you want to know?
I'm just curious, she shrugged honestly, wishing his suspicion towards her would simmer. Draco exhaled loudly.
Titus Andronicus.
Good play, she offered.
It's all right, he corrected her, nursing his drink between his palms. Some parts are sloppy.
I'd agree with that, she nodded thoughtfully. It was one of Shakespeare's earlier plays.
You gave me a lot of books by him,
he mumbled slowly, giving her a stern glare. I assume he is a Muggle author. Her eyes widened. She expected nothing short of blinding rage when her little experiment came to his attention, but he simply seemed irritated by it. You knew I gave you Muggle books?
It's pretty obvious, Granger. He rolled his eyes. I didn't recognize any of the authors, and it seemed like something you would pull.
And you still read them? She pushed with a disbelieving tone. Why? His scowl hardened a little.
Truth be told, he hadn't touched her Muggle literature for 2 days, simply eyeing them with genuine disgust. But boredom was just too powerful and sanity-draining, and he yielded on the third day, rationalizing that it was either reading her Muggle books or having a mental breakdown. Now he intended to have the books feed his revulsion for the Muggles, providing him with the proof that they really were uncultured and uncivilized beings who would struggle to pen a decent paragraph. But it was actually okay. Good enough that he continued to turn the pages and be subconsciously impressed. It was so unnerving and sickening, and it made him question things. Only for a moment, but he had. No, he had never believed all that propaganda shit about Muggles being feral, but he'd been convinced on some level that they would be less able with the arts. But this Shake Something guy was adequate. He couldn't very well tell Granger that, though. There's nothing else to read, he growled, realizing he'd taken too long to respond.
Hermione sighed, watching him under her eyelashes as she took another sip. Her heart thudded with her inquisitive nature, and she wanted to know how far she could test this.
And what do you think of the play so far? He snorted. It's violent, he said as though it was obvious, which she guessed it was. Which is entertaining, but it proves how barbaric Muggles are.
Barbaric? Hermione repeated, reining in her urge to scream at him. How so?
Well, it's just mindless bloodshed. As opposed to all the wizarding wars, she pointed out quickly.
Violence is present in all races and species, Malfoy, and especially humans, Muggle or not.
The guy killed his own son,
Draco remarked, cocking his head proudly to the side as if that had been his winning blow.
That's an indication of how uncivilized Muggles are.
Hermione didn't skip a beat. But Voldemort killed his whole family. The blonde's haughty expression faltered, and he hated that she witnessed it.
That's different,
he mumbled defensively. And Crouch killed his father, she interrupted.
It's different,
he repeated adamantly, but he knew the argument was weak. Granger looked neither smug nor arrogant as she raised her head to meet his peeved stare, but simply dampened her lips with a quick flick of her tongue. How is it different, Malfoy? He rummaged through his brain, hunting for a satisfactory argument or reasoning that would knock her back into place. He felt agitated and perturbed, but also a little smidgen of respect for Granger slithered into his consciousness, and that just pissed him off more.
Shit, this would definitely earn her a mark on his headboard.
Taking another swig of her rather perfect hot chocolate, he muttered, "It just is." The stiffness of Draco's neck was his first clue that he hadn't slept in a bed.
Whatever his head was resting on was too hard to be a pillow, and as his eyes slowly blinked open, he focused on a different ceiling than what he was used to. Draco awkwardly shifted to find himself outstretched on one of the sofas, propped up by an armrest. It was still rather dark, but there were no windows in the space, and a brief check to the clock told him that it was almost 7 in the morning. He groaned and rubbed his face, slowly rising to a sitting position that caused his back to click like cracking embers. His sleep-blurry vision focused on his surroundings as he tried to recall just how and when he had fallen asleep on the couch. And that's when his winter gray eyes moved to the other side of the coffee table. Draco stiffened. Hermione was cocooned from neck to toe in her blanket, her clumsy curls splashed across the cushion in coffee swirls. With her eyes shut and her features relaxed, she looked like the embodiment of comfort and peace. Gone were the stressed muscles consistently stretching under Granger's skin, and he couldn't ever recall seeing a person who looked so smothered by sleep. Her slumber slow breaths hummed in his ears and snatched him from his trance, leaving Draco to silently scold himself for letting the morning fuzz his brain. He snapped his eyes away from her, finding himself studying her unfinished and cold mug of hot chocolate. And her wand. Just lying there, taunting him. He dragged his body away from the sofa and meandered his way around the table as silently as he could, knowing all the while that this would probably lead to nothing. She told him herself that it was charm to repel him, but it could have so easily been a well-placed bluff. He shuffled closer to her wand, crouching down and moving into a position just in front of the sleeping witch. Her breath skimmed over the sensitive skin of his throat, and he fought the shiver that kissed down his spine. Reaching out, all of his hope for a chance of escape died when a warning magic buzzed against his fingertips before he could even touch the wand. But he'd expected it. With a defeated huff, he leaned back against his haunches. Granger's dreamy sighs still whispering across the fine hairs of his skin, and he closed his eyes, relishing the feeling, the smell of her this close enough to touch. And just like an army of flames, he was blasted back to reality. He flinched violently away from her, as though she was laced with poison, cursing himself to Salazar's tomb and back. This was what her sodding blood experiment had done to him. She was crawling through his system and into his head, screwing up his senses. It wasn't her muddy blood, it was something deeper, something carving into his bones and drowning his cells. It was her, Granger, her substance, her innocence, just racing through him and throwing shards at his sanity. Revolted by his actions, he fled her company on slightly shaking legs, praying some distance would purify him of her. Just then, Hermione was startled awake by the angry slam of Draco's door. Ugh, shame, really. It had been the best night's sleep she'd had in weeks, even if it had only been for a few hours. The winds were calm for the next 4 days, and Draco successfully managed to avoid Granger while he convinced himself more and more that she was festering beneath his flesh. On the Friday, exactly 1 week after their blood bathroom incident, the walls had started to close in again. A craving for interaction with another human settled into his pores, and of course, Granger was the only option. He needed to hear another human's heartbeat because his own were getting far too loud in his solitude. Of all the fucked up things to plague his brain, needing someone else's presence was definitely the thing that let him know he was going mad. He wanted an argument or just something to remind him that there was life beyond this bedroom door. He rationalized it by pointing out that it was entirely circumstantial. If there was anybody, he meant anybody, other than her that could chase away his demons, then there would be no need for this. Anybody except maybe Weasley. Pureblood or not, if bitchy McGonagall has shoved him into a room with that orange tumor of wizard society, there would have been slaughter by the second hour. But the mental image cheered him a little. He could hear her shuffling around the kitchenette, clinging around with various utensils and causing more noise than was probably necessary. Combing his hands through his ice-blonde hair, he released a weary breath as he left the four-walled prison-cum-bedroom to find Granger fussing with some pans and vegetables. Hermione felt his presence before she saw it, and she spun around to give him a curious look. "Let me guess," she said evenly. "I was making too much noise again?" "Yes," he grumbled, taking a few steps towards her. "What the hell are you doing in here, Granger?"
"Just sorting out some food for tomorrow," she explained with a delicate shrug. "I probably should have asked you this before, but are you allergic to anything?"
"No," he shook his head, hoisting himself up to sit on the counter. "Just you." He meant the comment to be cold and crisp, but it lacked that snide edge that had taken him years to perfect. Instead, it sounded more teasing. Well, Granger certainly seemed to find it harmless, judging from her amused snort and the slight curl of her lips. He considered calling her Mudblood, just for familiarity's sake, but something in his rather warped mind told him not to. And she spoke before he had a chance to question it.
"Have you finished reading Titus?" she asked, evidently a bit uncertain about how she was supposed to act around him.
Well, at least they had that in common. He scoffed. "Give me some credit, Granger," Draco mumbled, resting his elbows against his knees and eyeing her back. "I was almost finished with it the other day. Of course I finished it."
"Okay," she nodded, using her wand to help her finish her cooking. "And what were your thoughts on the ending?"
"Too rushed," he stated simply, his tone critical. "It was rather an amateur ending."
She hummed in thought as she turned to face him, crossing her arms over her chest. "I agree."
"What?"
"I agree," Hermione repeated, catching his stare with an uncertain flush. "It was too fast. Have you thought about reading another?"
He was, in fact, already halfway through another one of her muggle books. He decided to move away from that shake-whatever guy, though, adamant that he would find some level of illiteracy among her offered muggle texts. He settled on some creepy-looking cover by a muggle named Wiki Collins, and had been pretty much absorbed by the pages from Chapter 1, much to his inner disgust. "The woman in white," he offered with a rushed breath, noting that her grin stretched slightly.
"One of my favorites," she told him.
"And how do you..." "Don't get all bloody enthusiastic, Granger," he warned her with a low tone. "The level of writing is below that of a wizard or witch author."
Her smile fell and she turned her back to him to complete the preparations for what appeared to be stew. "Malfoy, do you really believe purebloods are superior to muggleborns?"
Draco quirked an eyebrow at that. His stony eyes roamed her shoulders and spine, searching for any clue as to why she would ask such a stupid question. "You know I do, Granger," he answered proudly, but there was an odd throb in his chest as he spoke. "Don't ask piss-poor questions when you're meant to have some sort of brains in there." An almost disappointed sigh left her mouth.
"Ugh, then, can I make a suggestion, please?" she murmured softly, fidgeting with the hem of her too big red jumper.
Ugh, there was her sodding please again. Unwelcome, and just another reminder of how pathetically pure she was. Somewhere, at the back of his brain lingered the memory that he intended to argue with her today. But here he was again, conversing with her in a way that should have made him vomit. But at least he felt slightly more normal now. More human. Just like her shower sighs, these almost civil moments seem to remedy his pulsing headaches. You can make all the suggestions you want, he shrugged nonchalantly, his scowl wasted on her back. But the likelihood of me agreeing to any of them is obviously next to nothing. Granger turned back around and her features were calm and soothed, but he could see the flurry of thoughts spinning behind her eyes. She really was so interesting to observe at times like these, like a cryptic puzzle with no obvious reward. Everything that buzzed in her heart was so willingly reflected in her autumn hue gaze, something he just couldn't get his head around. It would be wise for her to keep as much hidden as possible, especially from someone she despised. Someone like him. After you finish the book, she spoke slowly, I would like for you to read Martin Luther King's autobiography. His brow lowered with caution. Why? Well, I think you would find some of the concepts interesting, Hermione offered, her eyes raking down his body from head to toe. It's just a suggestion. And with that, she wandered out of his sight and disappeared into her room, leaving Draco reluctantly intrigued by her random request. He wouldn't read it, of course, if only out of spite. He would not read it. Hermione didn't have time to mull over her conversation with Malfoy, as she was greeted by a very familiar owl pecking relentlessly at her window pane. She rushed over to the window on anxious feet, throwing open the window latch to let the beautiful bird inside. Hedwig, she cooed affectionately, as Harry's faithful pet dropped the letter on her palm and gave her knuckles a soft nuzzle. Give the boys my love. The snowy owl never waited for a response, as it was too risky to waste precious time, and Hermione always felt disheartened as the owl hastily took back to the skies. She would have given anything to write a reply, but it had been agreed upon that it was far too dangerous to exchange more parchment than could be helped. If she ever discovered anything that could be useful for the boys, she had to pass it on to McGonagall, and then she would find the means to deliver it to Harry and Ron. The rules were strict, but she naturally followed them, albeit begrudgingly. Merlin, she missed them. The letter was scratchy in her palm, and as much as she wanted nothing more than to tear it open right then and there, she couldn't. Hermione promised Ginny at the beginning of term that they would read all messages together. If there was one person who was coping slightly worse than Hermione was, it was the Weasley sister. I mean, it was her boyfriend and her brother after all. The girl had every right to feel lost. Hermione shrugged on her robes and carefully tucked the letter and her wand into her pocket before she left the room. A quick scan of the kitchen and the sitting room informed her that Draco must have retired to his own room for the remainder of the evening, so she quickly left her dorm, heading to the Gryffindor Tower. 10 minutes later, she was sat on Ginny's bed with the redhead at her side, nervously fingering the ends of her fiery locks. The only other resident of the room, Pavarti Patil, was conveniently absent, possibly shacking up with Dean Thomas after their recent attempt at a relationship. But the privacy was welcomed by both witches, as these letters tended to arouse some emotional reactions, and only a select few even knew that her two best friends were in contact with them. Ready? Hermione sighed, not waiting for a response before she ripped away the envelope and unfolded the parchment, her eyes scanning the brief paragraph. Girls, all is well. Not much to report. Working on something, but it might be nothing. As always, don't worry. Miss and love you both. H&R. As always, it was short and to the point, lacking any details in case it was intercepted. The words were scribbled in Harry's handwriting this time, and Hermione watched
as Ginny traced her fingers along the blunt sentences, with tears already beating between her lashes. She felt her own eyes burn with the inevitable pining, and it wasn't because of what was scrawled across the parchment. It was because of what wasn't on the parchment. The boys would never talk like that, and the lack of personality behind the words was what she missed the most. Just to read one of Ron's dull jokes, or to have that comforting line from Harry, would have been pure bliss. Hell, she would have probably screamed with joy if they had written something about Quidditch. She just wanted her boys back. "Can you stay tonight?" Ginny blurted over her sob. "Pavati's not here, and I don't want to be alone." Hermione gave her friend a sad nod and pulled her in for a strong hug. "Of course, Ginny. Of course I'll stay." Where the fuck was she? As Draco had noted so many times before, Granger was a girl of habit, sticking to her strict routines with nary a glitch. He heard her leave not long after their encounter in the kitchenette, just like every day, leaving him to his own devices for the evening. He'd read some more of the Muggle novel and had a quick shower before preparing himself for bed, waiting for Granger's return. And then there was a glitch. He knew from his isolation that the habitual twitters of birds usually started at 5 in the morning, and she was normally home by 3. With a confused glare at the window, he left his bed and headed into the living room, checking the clock to find it was exactly 5:10. And Granger had definitely not come home. Wait, home? Ugh, he would think about that thought later. For now, all he felt was a heavy and dense weight pulsate in his chest, and it chased away all other notions he could have had. It felt like panic. Yes, this was definitely panic. Questions quickly clogged his brain, painfully hammering against his temple. Where was she? If something had happened to her, would he be stuck here? Forgotten? Alone? What would that do to his mind? What would he do without her scent or showers? He needed to get out. No way in hell was he staying in here, left to rot away like some peasant with no worth. He marched quickly to the main door, ignoring the familiar and irritating static against his palm, warning him not to grab the handle. But he did it anyway. His fist clamped around the brass, and the pain was instantaneous. It burned his hand and sparked up his arm, scorching his flesh from inside and searing into his bones. His instincts screamed at him to let go, but his alarm was too strong. He gnashed his teeth in effort to ignore the pain and tried to push down, but the fire shot through his spine like a blazing scratch. His back arched and he roared with agony, but still, he refused to let go. He could feel himself weakening, the violent flames burning away his energy and convulsing his muscles. He knew he was spasming with uncontrollable jerks, and another torturous yell tore through his throat. With one last feeble attempt to escape, he put everything he had into opening the door. The heat raced back up his spine and attacked his head, flaring at the nape of his neck before it all went numb. He didn't even feel himself crash to the floor, trembling wildly and writhing as a fit rocketed every inch of him with dangerous twitches. And then he was unconscious.
This has been an unabridged audio chapter of Isolation, written by Bex Chan and narrated by Fox's Fix. A special thank you goes out to Bex Chan for allowing me the privilege to read her story. To recommend your favorite Harry Potter fanfiction for future audiobook episodes, please visit Fox Fix Facebook page and Instagram through the links located in our description below.
You can also help support us with donations through our PayPal account to help produce and shape in our future narrated fanfictions. Thank you for listening. Please join us next week for a continuation of this magical fanfiction. See you then!